Good evening, everybody. It's the privilege that I have tonight is to share with you a great message, and a message that has changed the lives of many, many in this room, including myself. It was at a conference like this when I was seven that I met the Savior. And that's been a little while ago. I still feel like I'm a young person, kind of. But I love the gospel. You know, as we sat through the meetings today, I just thought almost everything the Lord has placed on my heart we talked about already. But together I'd like us to spend some time in the Word and to give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus for what He has done. And then to invite you, if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, to invite you to open your heart's door. Let's begin the meeting on our hymn sheets here with number 10. I think I've sung this hymn 1,000 times or more. I must say, growing up at the gospel tent is a goodly heritage. And I love the gospel. Let's sing number 10 together.
There is a Savior. Oh,
loving God and Father, how thankful we are that Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in every way was obedient to Thy will. In giving up that place that was His, there in a past eternity with Thee, our God, to be willing to become a man and to walk through this world and to go onward steady to the cross of Calvary so that the question of our sins, our God, could be dealt with in a way that would allow Thee to bless and save and be righteous. We thank Thee, Father, for the great work that was accomplished at Calvary. We thank Thee for all that Thy Son has done. We pray, Lord, this evening that Thou wouldst bless Thy word. We pray, Lord, that anything that's said tonight that is not right would fall to the ground and be worthless. We pray that the Lord Jesus would be honored and that our hearts would be warmed. And Father, if there is one here that does not yet know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the happy start of that relationship. So, our God, we ask for help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's Easter Sunday. And to me, every Lord's Day is Easter Sunday. But as I thought about what to talk about tonight, the Lord laid on my heart to talk about why Jesus had to die. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, please. The Gospel of John. I want to set this scene for you. The Lord Jesus is standing before Pilate. And we're going to read part of verse 36. John 18, verse 36. I'm sorry, verse 37. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Stop right there. Think about that. The Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God. We could trace through the book of John, and I suggest, young people, that you do this. It's a tremendous word study to do. Look up all the times where the Lord Jesus talks about going to the cross in obedience to His Father's will. Here He says to Pilate, "For this cause came I into the world." What cause? To die on the cross for you, friends. That's why He came. Why did He have to die? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Don talked about this last night. All have sinned. You know, I didn't have to put much effort into teaching my kids to be bad. In fact, I have spent zero time teaching them how to argue. Nobody had to teach me how to stick my foot out and trip some kid up. And I think that if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize all have sinned. Is there anyone here that could raise their hand and say, not me, I'm the one guy who hasn't sinned? No. We know all have sinned. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That was Adam. We had earlier in the conference how that God created everything. And it says he saw that it was very good. Let's turn to it. Turn back to the seed plot of the Bible. Those of you that know me know that I work in agriculture. The seed plot is where everything begins. Genesis is the seed plot of the Bible. Let's read what happened in the Garden of Eden. We know that God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and he told them, be fruitful and multiply. He told them that I've given all this to you, take care of it. But they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it. Eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Okay, what happens? Chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. That's not a screaming cry of guilty. I don't know what is. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. When I was a kid, my mom had vitamin pills called Shackley. Remember those? Some of you older ones smile. They had green candy on the outside. And we were told, don't touch those. But it was, man, they were good. The medicine inside was terrible, but the candy was good. So my brother and I began to eat these, suck the candy off. And, of course, my face was green. My mom said, were you boys eating those? No. Why is your face green? The Lord comes down into the garden. He had had communion with Adam before, right? And now here he is in fig leaves. Says, Adam, have you eaten of the tree? This is human nature, right? What did he say? Well, Lord, the woman that you gave me, she made me do it. Right? He blames God, basically. He says, well, it's the woman, and you made her, and it's her fault. And that's human nature, right? It's like, no, it's not me. I'm not guilty. 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 Now, the verse I love in Genesis 3, we'll read two verses here. Let's read verse 14. The Lord God said unto the serpent. Well, we'll just read verse 15 for time's sake. This is God speaking to the serpent. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the announcement by God of the blessed news that the Lord Jesus would come to be the Savior of sinners. Genesis 3, God's atonement is announced. That the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Now, We might say, well, Adam and Eve were weak. I would never do that. Right? Say, it's not my fault that they sinned. But death passed upon all men. When Adam sinned, he was the head of God's creation, and he was responsible. And when Adam sinned, death passed upon all men. It said, in the day you eat, you'll surely die. Now, there's a beautiful picture of God's grace in this. Adam and Eve didn't die that day, but they began to die. But God clothed them in skins, and there was death that day. And God began to lay out the substitution. And all through the Old Testament, we have it. God clothed them in coats of skin, but yet, all the way through the annals of time to right now, we feel the effects of sin. People die. Your knees get bad. Your thumbs hurt. Not as fast as you used to be. Your eyes go bad. I just got bifocals this week. We feel the effects of sin. Friends, God cannot have sin in heaven. He takes it very seriously. And there will be no sin in heaven. There must be a substitute. And right here in the seed plot of the Bible, God announces the blessed news. I love the hymn that we have in our little flock hymn book. Brightly it beamed on men forlorn when Christ the Holy Child was born. Remember, I quote the whole hymn. See mercy, mercy from on high, descend the rebels doomed to die. I wish I could. I don't have my hymn book up here. But anyway, it speaks there of the woman's seed thy head shall, or the woman's head. Sorry. Anybody got their hymn books here? 128. Let me read it. It's a beautiful hymn that we sometimes sing together. Soon as the reign of sin began, the light of mercy dawned on man. When God announced the blessed news, the woman's seed thy head shall bruise. Brightly it beamed on men forlorn when Christ the Holy Child was born. And brighter still in splendor shone when Jesus dying cried, 'Tis done. What a great song. And thank you. And that's where this began. And yet we would say, well, I would never fall to that. We're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To illustrate that, I tell you a story that I heard when I was a young boy. I never forgot this. There was a farmer who had a hired man, and they'd be out working and be hot and tired, and the hired hand would say, "Oh, Adam," when things were going badly, "Oh, Adam, it's your fault." And that farmer was a believer, and he wanted to show his hired man what his heart was like. He said, "I wish Adam wouldn't have done that. It's his fault." So the farmer and his wife had this individual over with his family for supper. And they had a really nice spread there on the table, just all kinds of delicacies. And presently, a message was handed in to the dining room that the host would have to go out for a minute. He says, "Okay, I'll be right back. Just go ahead, eat, enjoy. Everything on this table is for you. The only thing I want you to do is don't take the cover off of the pot in the middle of the table." Right? Is that what does your curiosity want to do? Take the cover off, right? "Oh, no, we can't do that. He said don't do that." "Oh, we'll just have a look. We won't take any." So the cover comes off. And out jumps a mouse, a white mouse. and it ran out, is gone. And then the host came back in the room, he looked in there and he said, oh, Adam, right? We see our own hearts in that. It's easy for us to say, well, Adam and Eve should have known better. Our hearts are the same. And here, sin was passed upon all men. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's why Jesus had to die. The wages of sin is death. Sin always pays in full. Sin pays on time. Sin pays in full. And without a Savior, we cannot go into heaven. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are on your way to a lost eternity right now. But the good news of the gospel is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now you might say, well, I guess I'll just start being good now. The scripture says God requires that which is past. Suppose that I ran up an account, Tim Ruga, with you at your business, and I owed you $100,000. Okay? You guys picture that? And I go to Tim and I say, now, Brother Tim, I'm terribly sorry that this happened. It was never my intent that I owe you this money. And from now on, I'll pay with cash. You going to be happy with that, Tim? No. But God requires that which is past. I mentioned the coats of skin that God made in the garden. All throughout the Old Testament, friends, God is announcing his intentions. We've read this morning about Abraham and Isaac. It says, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. When I read that verse, it just makes me smile. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. It's the Lord Jesus. I think it was Michelle mentioned when he was speaking how in a past eternity it says, speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. And then what does it say? My delights were with the sons of men. The Lord Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. From a past eternity, he was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. We read about Abel bringing a sacrifice and says God had respect. Why? It was reminding him of what his son, the Lord Jesus, was going to do on the cross for you. The Passover. A lamb without blemish and without spot, right? What's it reminding us? God is pointing toward the Lord Jesus, giving up his life, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. So pointing ahead. We hear that prophetic conversation in Isaiah 6 where the Father says, who shall I send? And who will go for us? And immediately the answer is, here am I, send me. And the Lord Jesus was willing to give that up, that home of glory with his Father. Why? Because he loves you. I can tell you with every fiber of my being, of everything that I could ever know, that God loves you tonight. The Lord Jesus loves you tonight. He died to save you. He wants you to open your heart's door to him. I was struck with a verse in Job recently. Let's turn to Job 34. Job 34, verse 14. I'm going to read this as Mr. Darby has it, because it's a beautiful verse. Here's what it says. If he only thought of himself, all flesh would perish together and men should turn again into dust. But God wasn't thinking only of himself. He was thinking about you and me. If he only thought of himself, it's all over for us. But he didn't. He was thinking about you and me. And so we find the Lord Jesus standing before Pilate. And he says, for this cause, this is the reason I came. I came to die. We could trace through the book of John over and over again. I can't remember who mentioned it this morning. There in the temple, when the Lord was 12, his parents were searching for him. What does he say? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? You know what that business was? To redeem your soul from sin. To save you and bring you into blessing. To bring you into a home in heaven with him. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. John 18:37. John 18:11. The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? Speaking of the cross, right? Jesus, knowing therefore all things that should come upon him, went forth. Was he surprised to wind up at the cross? No. He came to die for you, friends. For you, he came to die. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. It was for you and I that he came to die. We see him there on the cross, enduring before he got to Calvary's hill the most terrible abuse imaginable that mankind threw at the Lord Jesus, the blessed Savior. They get to Calvary and they throw him down on the ground, stretch those arms out, begin to pound those nails. You know who he was thinking about? He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. They lift him up. I don't know if the main beam of that cross was up or not. Maybe they dropped it into a hole. Thud, there he is, friends, the Son of God, hanging there for you and for me. But then God turned out the light. For 3 hours, there was darkness over all the land. And we find in Isaiah 50, I think it is. Better turn to it to get it right. Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned back away. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore I know I shall not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Actually, the passage I was looking for was not that one. But that does speak to us of the cross and his setting his face like a flint to go there. Sometimes we sing the song, onward still to Calvary marching. Onward still he speeds his way. his own Father's will fulfilling, love to sinners to display. It's Isaiah 52 that I was thinking of in the hours of darkness. As many, Isaiah 52, 14, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And the Lord Jesus endured the wrath of a sin-hating God for those 3 hours. And God shut off the light and poured out on his holy, spotless, perfect Son all of the wrath and punishment for sin, for your sin and for mine. Imagine the horror to the Lord Jesus of that time. There's no way to illustrate that. I can think back to when I was a kid, and my dad would say, when we get home from meeting, you're getting a spank. And then the rest of the day would be, evening would be, oh man, I hope he forgets. But the dread, and that's not even close to what happened to the Lord Jesus. Think about something so abhorrent to your soul. To me, I would think, imagine if I were dropped into a pit of snakes. The terror and the horror of that. And there, the Lord Jesus was made sin for you and I, who knew no sin. Think of the smoke in the eyes, if you will, the terrible, repulsive agony of taking upon him the God's wrath for sin. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. And at the end of that time, it says, the veil of the temple, something happened. There was a veil in the temple. The Jews were so proud of their temple, right? I think that veil was about 15 feet high. It says, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. God did it. No man could reach that high and rip that off. God tore that veil away. Because he was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus had done on the cross. Isaiah 53. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And God tore that veil away. The separation between God and man was gone. And the Lord Jesus has opened up the way for us to be fully blessed and brought into full relationship with God because of what was done at the cross. And he went into the grave. And then, I love that story, the first day of the week, right? They come early. He's not here, he's risen. What a great answer. He's not here, he's risen. He won. He defeated all the power of sin and Satan against you and I. He's not here. He's risen. He's our Savior today. There is a Savior on high in the glory. Right now. If you know him, that's awesome. If you don't, he's saying, come now to Jesus. That dear loving Savior, receive in this moment and peace shall be thine. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What a great gift. Suppose, Kyle, I brought you a nice birthday present, okay? And you looked it over and said, this is rubbish, I don't want it. And you heaved it in the trash. Is it yours? No. Accept God's gift. The offer is there. Here he says, I've done everything. I won. I paid every penalty. Will you take God's gift? Are you willing to accept that? Or are you going to say, later, maybe another time, is that convenient for me right now? Don't be like Festus in the book of Acts. I think it's Festus who said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. We never read that there was another opportunity. Or King Agrippa was mentioned, right? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, kids, what would you say to me if I said, Dave almost got out of the way of the speeding train? Is that good enough, Dave? No. Almost is but to fail. God stands open now, ready to save you. The work is done. God is satisfied with Jesus. We are satisfied as well. But I have to say, as we close here, turn to John 3 I'll explain what I'm saying here. God does not force his way into your heart and life. It was Brother Dave that read this morning, John 3. We'll read verse 16 first. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's my solemn duty to warn you, friends, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you have not said, Lord, I believe, come into my heart, be my Lord, save me from my sins, you're already condemned. Think about that. If you die tonight in your sins, you will go into a lost eternity. That doesn't have to happen. God stands in love, says, come unto me, all ye that labor. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest of God in your life, the fight against sin. The Lord says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. I think it's John 7 where it says that last great day of the feast, which is kind of like the last day of a great conference, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You thirsty in your soul, friend? The Lord says, come to me. The word come by its nature means leave where you are and come to me. Come. The door is open. I think it's Revelation we often use in the gospel. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? If any man open, I will come in unto him and sup with him. The Lord's not going to force his way into your life. But he says, I paid all of the price. The gift is yours. Everything is done. Will you take that? Have you done that? Accept it. God loves you. He did everything, everything to bless you, to save you. Are you willing to say, yes, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Are you tired of trying to strive your way through life? Sin is a terrible master. Reminds me of the Good Samaritan. Sin is a robber. That man that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho says that he fell among thieves and they stripped him and beat him and left him in the ditch half dead. That's what sin does. And the Lord Jesus goes down into that, came to us where we were, binds up our wounds. That's the Savior that we have. Is he your Savior? Oh, I hope he is. If he's not, you make that decision tonight. Don't put it off. This could be the last opportunity you ever have to decide for Christ. Sometimes we sing in the gospel meeting, there's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads in its tenderest tone. Well, it bids thee from God's wrath to flee and whispers to Jesus, now come. Sinner, hear and obey. 'Tis the voice of the Spirit that strives, that cries, while he strives, yield to him. Do not quench the convictions that rise. You feel the Lord speaking to your heart? Open your heart's door. You children, open your heart's door. It's the greatest decision that you'll ever, ever make. Sometimes we enjoyed singing as a family when the kids were smaller, at the heart's door. Maybe we could sing it together. We'll close with this.
At the heart's door, the Savior's waiting. At the heart's door, the lock is hid. Can't you hear him? Gently knocking. Open the door and let him in.
Oh, the Lord wants to bless you. Let you let him in. Let's close in prayer. Our God and Father, we just want to thank thee for providing every single detail of salvation in a way that totally, completely settled the question of sin. Our Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he rose again and that he's alive right now at your right hand. Father, I pray for any that is here in this room that does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Oh, Father, I pray that they would not be able to sleep tonight until the question is settled. Thank you, Father, for your heart of love. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. And it's in his precious name we give thanks. Amen.
Amen.